Hello, you are listening to the sermon broadcast of First Baptist Church, located at 209 East School Street. Today's passage comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. To listen to more sermons from Pastor Matt or to find out what's going on at the church, you can contact us at fbckennedy.org or facebook.com/FirstBaptistKennedy.
Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. I will be reading from the New International Version. You can find this passage on page 1140 in the Pew Bible. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Well, at this time, our children can be released for Kingdom Kids. If you have a four-year-old through second grade, they are invited to be a part of our Kingdom Kids ministry that meets right next door in our education building. If they've never participated, you'll want to accompany them and get them registered, and they can be picked up downstairs right after the worship service. Well, today marks the last sermon in the series through 1 Corinthians 15, titled Life Before and After Death. Now, last week I mentioned we're going to be starting a new long series through the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. And it's a sermon of Jesus delivered at the foot of a mountain in Galilee, and so we're going to take a look at that out of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But I forgot to mention that we're going to take 2 weeks and talk about the importance of Christian community. About this time, almost every year, we talk about the importance of Christian community, that we need each other to live the life that God has called us to live. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. You will not find that. You'll never see in the Bible or in the early church an idea that you can be a Christian without a church family. It's just not in the mind of God for us to be out there on our own, because we need each other. We have to have brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us, to strengthen us, to challenge us. And we need to be used by God to do that for others. And so we're going to take 2 Sundays. We're going to talk about Christian community. And one of the ways that we really highlight an aspect of Christian community, as far as how our church is organized and what we do as a ministry, is through our Sunday morning small groups. That's a way in which you can connect with other people and learn more about God's word and learn more about one another and walk the life of faith together is through our Sunday morning small groups. And so you're going to be hearing us talk about that. We've been promoting those week in and week out. And we have a small group leader meeting today, in fact. And for all of you who are small group leaders, maybe you know of our small groups and you say, well, I don't see a small group for this group of folks in the church. Wonder if we should start one of those. Come have lunch with us right after the service today. Let's talk more about it. Let's pray together and see what the Lord would do. But that is really an important thing. So next two Sundays we'll be talking about the importance of Christian community. So I invite you to come back and get plugged in. If you've missed any of the series that we're doing, that we're ending today on resurrection, life before and after death, you can find all those on our website. Just go to fbckennedy.org/sermons and you can listen to those and get caught up. And you'll find that today we're picking up and we're really only going to be addressing verses 54 through 57. We dealt with 58 last week, and so we're kind of picking up in the middle here. But you can catch verse 58 and some of the other verses I preached on last week. It's already listed up there, so you can check that out. Well, we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray together and transition into God's word, and let's see what He has to say to us today. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for every single person that is here this morning. And we know every week we're missing folks who are out of town or who are sick or who are helping a loved one or who may have to work or a number of other issues. And we pray for them as well, God, that You would speak to them, for us who are gathered here today, as we sit under your word and under your teaching, I pray, Father, that your spirit would be here in an incredible way, that we would have such a sense of your presence among us. And the work you would do would be to open our eyes to see the truth that we find in your word today. That you would open our hearts to believe that truth. And you would prepare our hands, Father, to take that truth into our world and live it out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've ever had your blood drawn, you know that little bitty hollow needle, don't you? And it's never a fun experience, but I want to ask you a question. Would you rather be pricked with that little hollow needle for a blood draw, or would you rather be stung, bitten by an ant? It's an odd question, I know. Odd way to begin. But I want you to ask that of yourself. Would you rather have the prick of a needle to have your blood drawn? Or would you rather be bitten by an ant? Now, the question you should ask is, how big is the ant, right? That's what you ought to want to know. How big is the ant? This ant's actually 5 foot tall. No, I'm kidding. There is no such thing as an ant that big. But if I told you that the ant bite was going to come from this ant, it may sway your decision in one direction or another. This is actually called a bullet ant. Now, a bullet ant is found in Central and South America at the base of trees out in the jungle. And a bullet ant is named after the feeling one has when they are stung by this ant. It feels like you've been shot with a bullet. That's how strong this little ant, which is about an inch long, which makes it actually one of the largest ants in the world at an inch long, but makes this little ant, his bite or her bite, the most painful insect bite in the entire world. There's a crazy guy, Dr. Schmidt, who actually has been bitten by almost every insect, every known insect in the world, either on purpose or by accident, and he came up with a scale to let you know how painful insect bites were. How many of you would want that job? This guy's crazy. They must pay him good money to do this. I don't know. But number 4 on a scale, 1 is the mildest, 4 is the most painful, and the bullet ant gets a 4+. I want you to listen to what Dr. Schmidt says about the pain one feels when they are bitten by this little bitty 1-inch long ant. He says, it's a pure, intense, brilliant pain, like walking over flaming coals with a 3-inch nail embedded in your heel. Yikes. He goes on to say, just imagine sticking your finger in a 240-volt electrical socket. That's what it's like to be bitten by a bullet ant. Not only that, but it can make your body go numb. It can make your limbs paralyzed, and it can last up to 24 hours. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather be pricked by a needle, or would you rather have the sting, the poisonous sting of a bullet ant? I think I made my case. It all depends on the ant. And if it's this ant, you're going to want the needle prick. But you may ask, well, isn't there a third option, like neither? Couldn't we just stay away from both of those? Well, I use this as an illustration of death, that we will face death either like the prick of a needle, or we will face death like the poisonous sting of the bullet ant, and in fact worse. That we will feel the prick of death, or we will experience the poisonous sting of death. It will have to be one or the other. There is no third option, save for Christ returns before we die. There is no third option. And we would want to know, why is that? Why can't there be a third option? Why can't we be like those very few biblical characters in the Old Testament that never died? They were just caught up into glory in heaven with God. Why can't we all experience this? Why isn't it that we just, when the end comes, there is no death, we just poof, disappear into the presence of God, and we don't have to take that passageway we call death? Why? Well, we start all the way back in Genesis. in Genesis 1. And everything God is creating in Genesis 1 is good. We read it over and over. He created this, it's good. He created that, it's good. It's good, it's good, it's good. In fact, it was not just good, it was perfect. Everything God created was perfect. He created a perfect world, and then he created a perfect human, Adam. And he created another perfect human out of Adam, Eve. And they lived in a perfect garden. Here they are in this perfect world, in this perfect garden, this perfect couple. But God created Adam and Eve with the ability to choose him or the ability to reject him. And it was this ability to choose was represented in a tree. We're told in Genesis that God created the Garden of Eden with two trees. One tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, you can eat of any tree, any fruit, anywhere in this garden. Just don't eat of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I don't know if it was because Adam and Eve were curious, because maybe God was not enough for them, or if they were proud and wanted to have the same knowledge God had, or if they were just especially hungry that day. But for some reason in them, the ability to choose was played upon by the serpent. You know the story. The serpent represents the devil, and the devil comes, Satan comes, tempts them, and says to them, surely God did not say that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that you would die. He just knows that you're going to be like him, and you're going to know what he knows, and he doesn't want you to know what he knows. God's holding out on you. And he tempts them. And Adam and Eve, whether it's pride or curiosity, they take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin enters the world. And because sin entered the world, death entered the world. And we're told throughout the scriptures that we've inherited, whether we like it or not, we've inherited a sin nature from Adam. That's in us too. The freedom of choice, which was a good thing, was corrupted. And sin was introduced in the world. So much so that God said, well, Adam and Eve, they can't continue to live in sin. If I leave Adam and Eve in the garden, they're going to eat of another tree, the tree of life, and they're going to live forever. And they're going to live forever as sinful creatures, and their sin is just going to destroy them. Their sin's not only going to destroy them, but it's going to destroy the whole world. And so God says, well, they can't stay in the garden any longer. And so we're told in Genesis 3 that God banished them from the garden and hid the garden away under protection so that they can never enter it again, so they can never eat of the tree of life and live forever again, because God knew that if they were to do that, sin would utterly destroy everything he had made. So he has to send them out of the garden. Later on, the world is so filled with evil, God says, I'm going to have to number their days. Not only can they not eat of the tree of life, and therefore they're going to die, but they can't go on living long, 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 long years. They're going to have to, their days on earth have to be numbered to contain the evil that's in the human heart. So that's what God does. That's what we're told in Genesis 3. He says, I'm going to number their days to 120 years. We would like for there to be a third option. We would like to avoid both the needle prick and the poisonous sting. We would like that, but the reality is death is here because sin is here. So there is no third option. Death will visit us all. But Paul says something really curious in these verses we read, and we should be wondering what in the world he can mean by it. He says in verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We should wonder, what does Paul mean? How could we mere mortals become immortal? How could we who are perishable, we feel that, don't we? I mean, just keep on living, you know, and you'll feel that. We are perishable. Our bodies are slowly falling apart. How could we who are falling apart due to sin become imperishable and immortal? Has sin stopped? Has the world become a perfect place? Have we returned to the Garden of Eden? Is that what's happened? What does Paul mean? How could this be? How could we become immortal, imperishable? Now, of course, we know that that's not the case, right? Turn on the daily news and you know this world has not returned to the Garden of Eden. Pretty clear, pretty easy to see. But you know what? If you even look at within yourself, you know it's true. You know you haven't returned to perfection, have you? You know you haven't. I've never met a sane person that said, you know, I'm a pretty perfect person. I cannot think of any flaws that I have. Have you ever met anybody like that? If you do, you avoid them, right? Because I got a lot of them and this person doesn't have any. We don't want to stand next to each other, right? No, even within ourselves, we know we haven't reached some state of perfection. We haven't returned to the Garden of Eden, to Adam and Eve's perfect state. We know within ourselves that we have the kind of life we know we ought to live, but we don't. So what could Paul mean if he is saying that we are going, and he is saying that we are going to return to that perfect state? How can it be? How can that happen? God made a perfect world. Man introduced sin into the world. Sin brought death, the poisonous sting of death, into the world. And yet Paul is saying there is this bright and glorious future hope. How can that be? Now Paul says here, and both of these quotations are from the Old Testament, end of verse 54 and verse 55. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? How could Paul say that that is our future? Well, he tells us in verse 56 and 57. Sting of death is sin. Power of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. Now, we all know that when you tell someone you can't do something, what do they do? The very thing you told them not to do, right? There's something in us that when we are told, don't do this, don't touch that, don't say that, don't go there, we have to do it. I don't know what, it's our sin nature in us that when we're told we can't, we want to. It's the same sin nature that was there present in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve when God said, don't eat of the fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they said, oh, goodness, we can't do that. Maybe it'd be fun, though. Maybe we ought to try it. I know he said don't, but maybe we couldn't and we won't be found out. And that has never ended. And that's what Paul's saying here, is even when God introduced the law, even when God said, here's the Ten Commandments, here's all these other laws, here's what I expect of you, here's what I want you to avoid, I don't want you to do these things, it's for your best, it's for your good to not live this way, but to live this way. Even when the law was introduced, it only multiplied our sin, because in our heart of hearts, we are sinners. Oh, we don't like to say that. We don't like to think that way. But we know it's true. Even when we're told very clearly, avoid this, do this, we violate it. So the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. What hope is there? This is still reality. This is still what we face. What hope is there? Paul says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he mean by that? I watched an interesting little video on the bullet ant. And they wanted to see what kind of venom is in this ant, because it is incredibly powerful. It's one little ant, one little bite can make your arm go numb for up to 24 hours. That is insane. And so they pull apart this ant and they get to its gland that produces this oil-like substance that is its venom. And if there were a way to go into every little ant and remove every little venomous oil gland The bullet ant would no longer be called the bullet ant. We wouldn't even know about it. It wouldn't even matter. It could still bite. But the bite wouldn't hurt. A little pinch. And go away. You know, paralyzing of a limb for 24 hours. What Paul is saying here is that the sting of death, the poisonous sting of death, has been removed by Christ. The poison of the sting of death has been removed by Christ. So that what we experience in death is not the poisonous sting of death. What we experience in death is a pinch. It's more like a needle being used to draw blood. Because of Christ, we will only experience the prick of death. We will not experience the poison of death. Paul is using these Old Testament quotations to point to the future. He's saying one day death will no longer be. But he is very aware that death is a part of our present. That in the moment, in the here and now, there is no third option. We will experience death here and now. He knows that, but he is talking. And this is the only place that Paul ever uses Old Testament scripture to point to the future. Verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. He's pointing to the future. Because death is still a present reality now, right? He's pointing to the future. Verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? He's pointing to the future. That when Christ returns, all of death will be eliminated. And what we experience here and now, in this life, whether it's our own death or the death of a loved one, what we experience here and now is not the full poison, the poisonous sting of death. What we experience here and now is the mere prick of death. That the poison's been taken out. It's like being bit by an ant that has no gland. Yes, there's a bit of a pain in that, but the effects are nothing compared to what it would be like if the glands were there and working properly. How can that be? Paul says it very clearly in verse 57, that God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying is that Christ took the poisonous venom of death on himself. He took our sins on himself. He experienced the death that we should have died. That's what he went through. So that when we experience death, we are promised to have the life that he had earned. The poisonous sting of death Christ took, so that when we experience death, it will only be a prick and nothing more. That we will have eternal life. Because remember, it's sin. It's sin that introduces the poisonous sting of death that lasts forever. But the poison of death has been removed. It's been taken by Christ on the cross. And it's assured for us that when we or someone we love that trusts in Christ experiences death, their death and ours has a bright future where we can say with Paul, our perishable bodies will be transformed into imperishable bodies, and our mortal bodies will be transformed into immortal bodies. We have this hope out there because back here, Christ took the poisonous sting of death, that when we experience death, we might only feel the prick of it. And that hope is offered to us, to each and every one of us who would trust that Jesus has taken the poisonous sting of death away. And by faith, we believe that he has done it. And by faith, we reach out and accept that he's done it on our behalf, not just for people out there, but for me, that he's done it for me. And we have a hope that even death cannot steal away. It's ours. It's offered by faith in Christ. Three times we're told in the scriptures that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's a promise for you. There's no third option, really. Death is before all of us. What will it look like for you? Have you thought about that? When that day comes, will you be ready? How can you know? How can you know that at death you will only experience the prick of it and not the poison of it? By trusting that Christ has taken the poison out of it for us, and that by faith in Him, we have a bright and glorious future hope that even the expiration of this body cannot take away. And if you don't have that today, again, over and over we're told it's yours. Christ, God offers it to you, to me, to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from the poisonous sting of death. And though we'll feel the prick of death, we have a hope and a future that is ours forever. Let me pray for us. Father God, we are grateful for your word that gives us this hope. We see ourselves in Adam and Eve. We see our sin. We see that we are deserving of this eternal death apart from your loving presence forever. That ought to be our future. Father, we are grateful that Christ took on that sting of death. He took on the poison himself so that we would not have to experience it. That we would experience the prick of death, but not the poison. That we would have eternal life that will only get better with time. And Father, I pray for every believer here this morning that believes that that is true, that that would give them hope. Hope here and now, hope then and there, hope for loved ones, hope for friends, that they would live a life of hope because this is true. For those who don't yet know you, that they would see, Father, death is a harsh reality, but they would see that they can reach out by faith and take hold of a hope that even death cannot kill. And God, that in all of this, we would look to you and glorify you every day that we live. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.